Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hustler Turf, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. 1,000 dealerships, Hustler Turf. .com. They know their stuff. By the way, you know what I don't like? You know how sometimes you have to wait for a certain technology to be developed? And there's like technologies mostly all developed to make life more efficient. I mean, that's kind of what we're all doing this, right? Technology, whether it's Google, you know, it used to be you'd have to look up stuff and then Google came around. You put something in Google, boom, you have all the information. One of the things I don't love is when you use a company and they say, at the end of this experience, will you stay on the line for 5 questions and a survey? And I hate that. I always think, well, isn't there a technology? So when I call, you look at my number and it shows you my history of using your company. And if you're Delta Airlines and I spend $20,000 a year flying with you, I like your company.
Well, I mean, isn't that what the purpose of the questionnaires for, so that if you have a bad experience, they can follow up with you?
Yeah, but if I have a bad experience, I'll go to Twitter and call them out.
No, you will not.
I'm just saying, I use you all the time, store.
Nobody likes doing those questionnaires.
They're just...
You just don't do them.
I always say
no. Sometimes I do them, though. If I have a long... If I'm dealing with a customer service representative for a long time and they help me, then I will do it, because I imagine that they probably get good reviews if
but
you
I'm
leave
not,
a review for them.
I'm not a complainer. Like, I'm not a complainer. So if let's say it was less than satisfactory, like my wife yesterday had an unbelievable bad experience.
She's a good person. She's a good person.
Yeah, my wife was furious at Best Buy. She went, got a TV, brought it home. It was used. Banged
I didn't
up.
Know if you were going to tell this story.
No remote, no
I'm
power
sweating,
cord.
Because you would have heard about it before I
oh,
got
Oh, no,
here
my wife
today.
Was furious. I would have just said, okay, I'm not going there. So she went back and said, it's used and it's missing stuff. And they're like, okay, you get a rebate. And then on her drive home, the manager calls and says, no, you're trying to scam us. You're a thief. And she's like, well, excuse me? And then she said, she was so mad. She said, go look at my history with your store. She says, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars. Why would I try to scam you? I buy at your store.
It's a television.
Oh, she was so... My wife was so mad, and I had to cool
it's
her down.
It's the audacity for me. Scamming you out of a television? Didn't you buy other televisions there at the same time?
Well, probably 8 over the course
so
of
So she was just trying to get, like, 1 free TV?
Listen, I'm not here to badmouth people. I'm not a complainer. Like, if I get bad service, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just not going to go somewhere.
Yes, I agree.
That's who I am. My wife is going to get on the phone and yell at you.
Well, I mean, if someone's accusing you of scamming them...
She told me the story, and I said, not that I don't believe her, she was so mad. I said, it sounds like something, it's like unsolved mysteries of retail. It doesn't even sound right.
I don't know how you come to the conclusion that that is what you do, but
it was
that's
a bad experience.
Wild.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line.
When
news.
We call you, there should be a technology that tells you that we like your product or we wouldn't shop there all the time.
I think they probably do. I'm sure they
so
do.
So why do I have to do a survey?
Because companies always want more information.
Well, I don't
One
have
of the
more
most
time.
Valuable currencies in the world is information.
All right.
And that's why
so
most
you
of
are
these
sweating.
Apps harvest them.
You are sweating.
I'm sweating now thinking about it. I'm mad for her.
I told you the story this morning, and you were just, you were incredulous. Anne was so mad.
You know how mad I was when you told me that story? I thought about what I would do. I went to my dressing room, and I'm getting ready for the show, and I thought about, like, I played in my head what I would do if the store told me I was scamming them out of a television. Like, how I would react. And I know that God is looking out for me because I'm very, very, very rarely in situations like that because I don't know what I would do, but it would not be pleasant. So I'm glad that Ann is a wonderful person and handled that.
Not pleasant.
So the Patriots were big spenders in free agency this year, but one NFC scout doesn't think they brought in the right players. According to Mike Giardi, the scout said they paid a premium for a few players who aren't premium talent or premium producers. The scout did admit the Patriots addressed their need for a talent infusion, but he doesn't think they spent their money wisely. I don't think a lot of people feel that the Patriots, like, overly scored. Like, you're going to overpay in free agency. That's what happens.
I think they solved their tight end issue, which was dire.
Yes, but like a lot of people feel they paid more money.
Right.
They paid great money for good talent.
Yeah, Hunter Henry can't stay healthy. He's very good. So they did overpay for Hunter Henry.
But like overpay if you have needs, if you need something,
right,
and there is a limited amount of that service.
No, that's a good point.
Then you're going to pay. You're going to overpay.
Yeah, I tend to be. I think like that too. If I need something, it's not an overpay.
No. No, it's not like they are out here, lauding themselves for all these splashy signings. Like, they needed talent.
No, they had the worst tight end group in terms of yards, touchdowns, catches, easily in the NFL. I think their leading tight end had 187 yards last year.
I mean, what would you prefer? They not be aggressive?
Yeah, I would. Free agency generally shouldn't be there to solve your issues. What it should be there is to augment a unit. Like, I think the Jets have a good defensive line. Carl Lawson makes it an even better defensive line. That, I can argue. I don't like...
You shouldn't be necessarily replacing core position groups in free agency, but the Patriots had to do that. Free agency is generally, to your point, add an addition that's going to put you over the edge. Those are the teams that generally win free agency when you look a few years down the road. It wasn't something that you're solving your entire team's problems. But also, the Patriots had no choice. What are they going to do? Look at the division. Look what they had last year. I don't think that they I don't look at it as overpaying. Like, there's certain things you're just going to overpay for. If you're getting fleeced on something, then that's different. But
listen, the Chargers needed to upgrade their O-line, so they made their center, Corey Linsley, the highest paid center. But their argument is, we have the best young quarterback in football, not named Patrick Mahomes. We're not overpaying. He's protecting
him. And you don't have to pay him right now.
That's right.
So it's money well spent. So the Eagles have signed Joe Flacco to a one-year deal. It's worth $3.5 million guaranteed, with the opportunity to earn up to $4 million in incentives. And he's heading into his 14th season and is expected to be the backup for Jalen Hurts. He started 4 games for the Jets last year, 55.2 completion percentage, 864 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Obviously, this is not the same Joe Flacco that we saw winning
this
a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
He's an old mountain man, Joe Flacco.
But I do think this is an interesting signing because it feels like it's a commitment to Jalen Hurts.
Yes, yes. He's a clear backup now.
Yes.
Just a veteran backup. You can throw him out into a game. He's not lost. He knows the league.
But there's been a lot of talk about if they're going to draft another quarterback, and I couldn't see them doing that after also bringing in Joe Flacco.
To me, they're not going to. Philadelphia is not going to take a quarterback at 6, nor should they.
I agree.
Yeah.
They should give Jalen Hurts a year.
I don't like Atlanta taking one at 4 either, but I think they're trapped because all the stuff they need, they'd be massively overdrafting. Atlanta's a fascinating. This is why I think when I do mock drafts, I don't do trades. They're stupid. Atlanta's got to trade down. They do not need a quarterback, and they need what is readily available in the middle and late first round. So Atlanta, what's the point of drafting a quarterback and not playing Trey Lance for 2 years? They can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I don't think that a quarterback is...
Atlanta's... that my only trade that I'll guarantee today. I guaranteed one blowout in the tournament.
You're right.
I guaranteed Colorado would blow out Georgetown. That was the only guarantee. My only trade guarantee, Atlanta will not pick 4th. It is a... It would be, they're too well run not to move off that pick. They have so many needs on the defensive side, and they're all kind of available 10 through 23.
I can't wait for the draft.
Oh, I love the draft. Love it.
But this draft particularly, there's so many teams that need a quarterback, and there's kind of a deep amount of quarterbacks, and everyone is getting these random evaluations now, like Justin Fields all of a sudden can't play, and like it's getting very wild. You don't know what's happening with Sam Darnold. I could see a lot of movement in this year's draft. Although we thought there was going to be a lot of movement last year and there wasn't. So I love this video. I love this video because people are always talking about how much better they are and how weak certain players are. And then sometimes you get to meet those players in real life. And then sometimes you get the opportunity to play one-on-one against them. And this brave high schooler saw Brian Scalabrine shooting around and challenged him to a game of one-on-one. And the kid put his sneakers on the line in a friendly wager with him and quickly found out that was not a good idea because he played for 11 seasons in the NBA and that's a different kind of player. I love it because you'll see guys on runs at like LA Fitness or Equinox, and they swear they're better than like the worst guy in the league. The worst guy in the NBA will put up 60 on you, will score every single time in a one-on-one game against anyone who's not played in the league. It's such a different level when you get to the NBA and to play 11 seasons. I've watched this video like a million times. So obviously, he's in high school and, you know, they were just having fun.
Brian Scalabrine played 11 years in the NBA.
Yes.
That's a long NBA career.
Yes.
And by the way, forget the minutes he played. Practice. He practiced against NBA guys for over a decade. You get better just practicing against guys that Brian Scalabrine played with.
I mean, I don't think that people sometimes, like, I encourage you, if you ever have that opportunity, if you're in a city where NBA players are training, to go and you can get to a run. Because sometimes there are runs that are open to the public. And just go physically, because it's one thing to watch it at a game, but when you're watching practice, like, Russell Westbrook's shoulders are this big.
I know.
They're this big.
Yeah.
They're this big. You, if he ran up to you and pushed you, you would fly across the studio right now, if you were ready for it.
Yeah.
It's like the level of like human.
I remember when I was in high school.
Athletic ability and strength is not, I can't explain.
So I was in high school and I was, you know, like second team all conference. I was a decent high school player, kind of a ball hog gunner. And and I graduate high school and I come back about 5 years later and the guy coaching my high school is a former college player. And we all showed up in the summer like the best players at our high school over the last 4 or 5 years. He was so much better than all of us. He was dunking on us. We're just like, what? And he was like a backup in the Pac-12 at Washington State. And just rolling, jamming, tomahawk dunking. And I'm like, okay, that's a Pac-12 player. All
right, yeah, it's another level.
Yeah, Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
13
news.
Years and 6 Pro Bowls, former NFL great is now a co-host on First Things First. He's got a new, there's a documentary tonight. Brandon Marshall started a business called House of Athletes Going Pro, where he kind of created his own combine for a lot of these young guys. There's the pandemic. It's a great idea. And the documentary starts tonight at 5:30 Eastern on FS1. And Brandon is now joining us live. By the way, did you ever for a second, would you go into coaching? This is obviously you like working with athletes. Would you consider coaching?
No. I can just cut you off right now. Absolutely not. I don't know, wake up at 5 in the morning every day and go to sleep and leave the office at 10 p.m.? Heck no.
All right, that's fair. But you do like working with young people, as we saw in this video. You do like the personal connection to young people, right?
Yeah, I like the other side. So, like, the guys like Mo Wells, who came over from IMG Academy, who is phenomenal, one of the best in the business. Troy Jones, best in the business. Like, I'm not an expert there, and I don't pretend to be. I don't sell that to these guys. I mean, we've been doing it since 2012. But what I am an expert in is being a professional athlete. I'm an expert in making mistakes and learning from them. I'm an expert in, you know, the mental health stuff and being, you know, having my mental fitness level where it needs to be. And that's what I love and that's what I embrace is that moment that I get every single day when I walk into our facility to talk to these guys about their stress level and talk to these guys about performance. And it could be on any end of the spectrum, whether dealing with anxiety, depression, or dealing with, you know, mindfulness and how do I take my game to a whole nother level. So that's where I really embrace, you know, these moments and where I think, you know, I thrive when it comes to performance is not the physical training, but the mental fitness training.
You know, Aqib Talib told me a couple days ago, he said he was a great college player at Kansas. And he said, when I came into the NFL, he goes, those first few days at the OTA, I'm like, man, even the scout team guys can beat me down the field. And he said, but I started having better practices. He goes, but at Colin, it took me about a month where I was like, okay, I'm an elite corner. And it's interesting. Go back college to pro, the transition for you. How much of the NFL do you is mental? How much is physical?
80% mental. I mean, that's life and sport. You know, only 20% is physical. Think about this. I mean, I got a similar story that Tlaib has. Rod Smith. Rod Smith was in year 12, I believe, and I was a rookie. And we were in our offseason program, and he beat me 10 out of the 10 times when we were running these 80-yard sprints. This is a dude who had a hip problem, and I couldn't figure out why Rod Smith was still beating me. I'm faster than him. I'm younger than him. I'm more healthier than him. But his mindset and his mentality to how he approached practice every single day was just different, and I learned a critical lesson there from Rod Smith. 80% is mental. You can be the best at – look at – I truly believe, Colin, I'm going to be honest here. You know, my first 4 years, you know, I was one of the problems in the locker room. I was a distraction. And I probably messed up probably $100 million, meaning that I didn't burn any money. But I'm talking about career earnings. I'm talking about marketing deals and endorsement deals. People didn't want to touch me. We're talking about, you know, being able to get back to the table earlier. And I should have probably made, you know, $12, $13 million a year instead of $10 million a year. So I messed up probably $100 million there. And then also when you're not mentally strong or you're not mentally, fit, I should say, what happens to your production and your performance? So I'm sure I could have probably done more and achieved more things on the field if I was just healthier off the field and also mentally. So yeah. I would say 80%.
Yeah, Levante David of the Bucks told us this yesterday. He's been a defensive captain last 7 years. He goes, when I first got into this league, I was out till 1 a.m. I wasn't eating right. I'd get up and he goes, I finally figured out this. My body is my life. I got to figure this out. And he talked about treating his body well. It's interesting. I want to throw this at you. So Juju Smith-Schuster is real talented. We know that. But he went out to the market, and there weren't a lot of offers. And I've heard people say he's too silly. He's too into. And I think to myself, well, generationally, I'm not a guy on TikTok, so I can't speak to that, right? But when you go back in your early career, could I make the argument that social media sometimes, Brandon, is not your friend, is not your ally? It lets teams know you're sidetracked, you're into yourself. How do you view that? What do you tell these young kids about social media and that aspect?
Yeah, listen, just like I tell your buddy and my buddy now, Nick Wright, on our show, I'm with you when you write. Hey, social media ain't always your friend. Here's the problem, right? Social media is a part of our environment. There's this generation of folks that's like, oh, social media is bad. Social media is bad. No, it's not. Like, we're innovating. That's who we are as a people. Like, we're always going to try new things. We're always going to innovate new things. Technology is going to get better. Science is going to get better. Medicine is going to get better. So that's what's happening here. But when you're a professional athlete, you always got to remember this thing. Look, that's good, but keep the main thing the main thing. Your job is to score touchdowns, Juju. Your job is to also help your team win games. So when I look at Juju, excellent person. He's great in the locker room, but sometimes that social media, like, that's your main thing. Like, when you walk out on the field before the game and all you're thinking about is your followers, like, that's a distraction. That's taken away from, you know, you tapping into when it's 3rd and 1, the game is on the line, this is a critical situation that Coach Tomlin said it's going to come up in the game and it's going to be a difference between winning and losing, and you miss that. That's a problem. Like, those are, it comes down to moments. It's not about 60 minutes. It's not about, you know, 72 plays in a game. It's about 3 or 4 moments in the game, and you got to be tapped in. And that takes a certain amount of attention to detail. So I think the issue that we're seeing now with professional athletes is they're so worried about the brand and they're not worrying about, you know, football, or they're not worrying about the ball. And that's what's happening with guys like Juju Smith. Because when you look at it, it's like you just had 800 yards. You know, that's that. I mean, what is that? I mean, as a wide receiver, I could bring home 800 yards halfway through the season. So I need a little bit more production from some of these guys that is really embracing social media.
All right, tonight, 5:30 Eastern. It's called House of Athletes Going Pro. Check it out. Very interesting. The dream of millions that 1% achieve, the chosen few. Brandon Marshall at the forefront of this. If you're a young athlete, a parent, you want to see the grind and the work, I'm excited for this. I'm happy for you, Brandon. You're a huge talent, and I appreciate you stopping by our show, bud.
No, I appreciate it. It's going to be awesome. All right. Thank you.
You bet, Brandon Marshall. Jim Boeheim's around the corner. The tournament he plays this weekend next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you can get your podcast.
He's coached 45 years at Syracuse, and they've never had a losing season, which doesn't even sound right. Jim Boeheim's a legend. 4.5 decades of winning. He's joining us live. They play this weekend against Houston Saturday. So here's one of the things I like. I like guys that get a little older and they adapt. And your team shoots a ton of threes, and you could have easily said, "Hey, I'm going to play my defense. I'm going to do what I do. I'm not going to go to threes." And you just went all in on threes. And when was the moment you decided, "I got to change my coaching offensively"?
You know, we've been using more threes, but we have three really good shooters this year. So we started out shooting a lot of them. The problem was we were shooting them, but we weren't making them. So, you know, it was a struggle. And then as we got a little longer into the season, guys got healthier. The COVID pauses hurt us a little bit, but we started to make shots. And, you know, you're a lot better coach, Colin, when that ball goes in the basket. We're running the same plays, shooting the same shots, but it's going in the basket. And it's good to be with you, too. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I keep seeing you picking against us, so I think that's a good sign. You know, I think that's a good sign when you pick against us.
Hey, your son is a great shooter. Now, he's a better shooter than Dad was. Let's be honest, he shoots the ball better than you did.
Yes, absolutely. He's not a better player, but he's getting close.
That is funny. So, you know, it's interesting. I grew up college basketball, Syracuse, Georgetown, the Big East, the ACC. The best team I've seen so far in the tournament is little old Gonzaga. You know Mark Few. He's one of your friends. Oh, yeah. How are they the best team in the country out of Spokane?
You know, the best advice I ever gave anybody in coaching was when Mark was, you know, obviously doing very well 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we go on a Nike trip together, and I told him, I said, "Look, you got one of the best jobs in the country. Don't leave it for what looks like a bigger job." And, you know, Mark figured it out on his own that he had a good job. And now he's actually at a place that will attract a guy like Jalen Suggs, that will attract a big name recruit. And that's not bad. And he can fish out the back door of his house up there, which I've been fishing with him a couple times. Without a doubt, he's the best trout fisherman in college basketball coaching. And it's not even close.
By the way, you've played different teams. You just played West Virginia, and Huggins is a hell of a coach, and they trap, and they're difficult. So you're having to play different styles. This is an interesting year where Gonzaga looks like the best offensive team. Baylor's a good defensive team. Everybody else to me, Jim, looks close. I can't pick the games this year. I've never seen a year where it's more smushed together.
It's better for the fans because anything can happen. Now Oregon State has proven that. Oral Roberts, us to some extent. I think there's a little bit of separation between Gonzaga and then Baylor, probably close to them. But I think really when you watch right now, I think Michigan's still pretty good. If they had the kid that's out, Livers, I think they'd be right in that conversation. But they're still very good because the kid transfer from our league, Wake Forest Brown, is really good. So I like them. But the team that's impressed me the most in the tournament is Loyola of Chicago.
Yeah, they're tough. Physical.
I think Illinois was the second best team coming into this tournament. And they didn't just beat Illinois. It was an easy game. It was really not much of a contest game for Loyola. So they've been very impressive in this tournament. And obviously Oregon and USC. I mean, the West Coast has really stepped up. And anybody that doubted them early in the year, they've been proven wrong. That's the great thing about this tournament. Sometimes when you're in a league and you're just beating up teams in your league, it doesn't necessarily mean your league's all that good. It just means that you got a lot of teams that are good and they're beating each other, but you have to wait until you get in this tournament, and then you see how leagues do. And, you know, the Pac-12 has obviously been the surprise league by far. It's not even close. So it's hard to evaluate. I've been evaluating players and teams my whole life, and I laugh a little bit when – you know, when the evaluators out there are saying this league is so much better than this league, and you really can't tell until you get in the tournament and you play other teams. You know, during the year, especially this year, you're just beating your own teams.
Right.
So that doesn't mean your league's that good. It just means you're good in your league.
By the way, they'll face Houston, a team that doesn't have a huge brand but is very good. You are 45 years, no losing seasons. You've coached NBA players. You still have great energy. When will Jim Boeheim know? Hey, it's time for somebody else. I'm done. When will you know? The car drive home, the epiphany, the moment. When will you know? Hey, I've done it blank years. I'm done.
I'm coaching until I can't win anymore. You know, I've said that for 10 or 15 years. I remember my AD a long time ago, I was 60, said, well, you're going to get out pretty soon, aren't you? I mean, I think I was 58. And I said, well, no, I'm not really thinking about that. And I'm not thinking about it now. If we can win, I feel great. You know, do a little work. A little Pilates has been good for me, a little swimming. But I'm going to coach. I mean, Warren Buffett still goes to work every day, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's, what, 90? All he does is, you know, talk to people. All I do is talk to people. That's all I do. I don't have to get out and dig any holes, ditches, or, you know, run. I don't have to run up and down the court. So if I can keep winning, keep getting good players to come to Syracuse, you know, I feel like I'll coach for a while.
You still like?
I really do.
I got a minute left. Do you like recruiting still?
Yeah, recruiting's not bad. You meet a lot of good people, and I haven't had, you know, you have a couple bad experiences, but no, overall, I learned a long time ago, if you don't have good players, you won't be in this business very long. So if you don't get out and recruit, you know, you're not going to be in this business very long.
Yeah, it's what the late Jerry Tarkanian once told me. He said, everybody complains about recruiting. He goes, I go to steak for free and have a couple beers on the university. He's like, it's not that bad. I got to be honest with you. It's not a terrible living.
He was a great guy to listen to for advice, the Tark. There's not many like him. I went out to dinner with him in Vegas once. He drove in, parked in the on the sidewalk in front of the restaurant in Las Vegas, left his car there, keys in the car, went inside, ate, whatever, left, said thank you to everybody, left, got in his car and drove home. And, you know, he took a to-go order from a five-star restaurant.
Jim Boeheim, they play. That's funny. All right, when you get out to L.A., you know, you could say hi once in a while and, you know, would we take you to dinner and hang out with you a little bit? You know, I'm not a bad guy to hang out with. So you're out here again.
I'm coming this summer. My son's about to work out there and, you know, get faster and stronger. So I'm coming out. When I'm out there, I'll definitely call you and I'd be happy. I know you're not going to take me to dinner, but I'll take you to dinner.
That's right. Syracuse and Houston Saturday. One of the good guys, Jim Boeheim. Jim, great seeing you, Coach.
Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
You bet. His son, by the way, is averaging 27 a game. That's the sixth highest points by any player in the tournament. How about that? His son, Buddy. How about that, Buddy? That sounds like a great name. Buddy Boeheim.
That is a good name.
That's a good basketball.
That's got to be a thrill to coach your son in the tournament.
Especially when he's dropping 27 points a game. That's really a thrill. Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Good stuff. We had Jimmy Boeheim, Brandon Marshall, Mike Silver, TJ Hushmanzada, Nick Wright. I barely sweat today. Enjoy filled the rest of the time. I like days like today. Uncle Colin just mails it in. That's what today felt like, and I'm here for it. We'll see you tomorrow. Speak for Yourself is coming up next.